Blog Talk Radio.
Sisters and brothers, my name is Sister Leola, and I'm calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I am so sorry. I dialed in, and I did not get the prayer line. The prayer line came up, but I didn't see no one on. And then I hung up and dialed again, and I saw someone on the prayer line. So I just want to thank God for me not just hanging up and say, nobody's on. And just call in again. And I just want to thank God for that because we have people on now. So, sisters and brothers, let us begin with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you, Lord, sometimes the enemy trying to trick us and have us to believe that you're not working. But, Lord, lo and behold, your people was on the prayer line waiting, Lord, faithfully. I saw them. I tried to hurry up and get on, but it takes time to hang up or redial and get all those other numbers in order for the line to go through. So, Father, we just want to thank you for the faithful few that we have on this prayer line. Lord, God bless our sisters and brothers that always and coming on and just supporting the prayer line, Father. We thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, as we bring the our sisters and brothers to you on the prayer line and we lift this prayer line up to you, Lord Father. We just want to ask you, Lord, to send down your Holy Spirit, Lord, to be with us and give us the strength that we stand in need of, Lord. And also be with my sisters and brothers, Lord. They come on the prayer line faithful and do and make diligence to come sing and give praise and also share scriptures and just to pray for others. So, Father, thank you for blessing each and every one. So now, Lord, as we begin the prayer line, Father, we ask for a word that come from you that we can share. So, Father, we thank you for what you're doing on this prayer line. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, sisters and brothers, for being patient. You have been long patient because I was supposed to start, but I was doing something on my iPad with one of my church members, and I'm getting a late start. So thank you for being patient again. So let us go to the spirit of prophecy on the most sure word of the most sure word of prophecy. We're reading off the board, and it says, "What a God is our God. He rules over His kingdom with diligence and care. He has built a hedge." The Ten Commandments about his subject to preserve them from the result of transgression and requiring obedience to the law of his kingdom, God gives his people health and happiness, peace and joy. He teaches them that the perfection of character he requires can be attained only by becoming familiar with his word. The true seekers who is striving to be like Jesus in word, life, and character will contemplate his Redeemer and by his beholding become changed into his image because he long and prayers for the same disposition and mind that was in Christ Jesus. He is long after God. The history of the Redeemer, the immeasurable sacrifice that he made become full of meaning to him. Christ, the majestic of heaven, became poor that we through his poverty might become rich, not rich merely in endowment, but rich in attainment. Thank you, sisters and brothers, and we are happy to have you on the prayer line, and we will begin to open your line, and God can bless you to give your request. So we open the first line, 857, your line is open. 857, your line is open.
Yes. Hello, Sister Mabel.
My name is Sister Mabel. Sister Mabel, I'm calling from North Massachusetts. He's a worthy to be praised. I have a prayer request. So, yes, my request is to pray for my mother. Yes, and my mother, for Sister Mabel. Sister Mabel, Bell and for you too. Where to go to do Bell, Sister Mabel? I don't know how your son is named. You're going to go to do Bell. Where to go to do Bell? Where to do Sister Mabel? Yeah, I don't know. Where to go to do Bell? 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 I could get a day working, get a cabin. I mean, I don't think that's the bell thing to send you over to the city of New York. They are not staying on the plane. They are not staying on the plane. And he was asking for a question. I'm going to go to the city of New York. I'm going to go to the city of New York. And he could stay on the spray line system. Because this is the idea. He was he needs to see on the prayer line because God is good. God is worthy to be praised. But Javel's on the prayer line, Sister Mueller. So tell him to have faith in the Lord. Sister, I don't know, can you say a message for him? Because you know why, Sister Mueller, the devil's trying to attack him, but God is able to fight for him. God will fight for God in the name of Jesus. God will break every chain for Brother Javel. Brother Javel, what matter what you're doing to Sister Mueller, wants you to because that's number one. Your life, say something to Brother Javel and do a special prayer for him before he sing on the prayer line. He might sing. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. And yes, my brother, we're going to have a prayer for Brother Javel because we know one thing, the Bible tells us, prayers is the answer. And faith unlocks the door. So let us pray for our brother and our friends on this prayer line, especially when our brother come to the prayer line and make a request and known unto God and that he asks and we shall do. So let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before thee, Lord, we come with thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for your people that come. You say, Lord, without people, Lord, what can we do? We are here on this earth, Lord, to just be able to have fellowship with one another, to pray with one another, to sing together, Lord. We just want to thank you because it's not good. It's not fun. It's not anything if we can't have others to join in and just have that blessing with our fellow man. So, Lord, we thank you for Brother Eli always coming on this prayer line just to ask for requests and prayers. Lord, we pray and lift this mother up to you, Lord Father. He pray for his mother every night on this prayer line, come asking. And we also lift up every request, but he had a special request for Javel tonight, Lord. And as for many others, he prayed for, but he has saved Javel tonight, Father. We just ask you, Lord, to touch his heart. And, Lord, Father, all those requests that we pray on this prayer line, Lord, we ask that you touch the heart of your people, Father, to come in on the prayer line to share, Lord, share a testimony about what you have done for them. Lord, I'm just asking you to continue to lead in, God. People dying every day, Father. And really not even knowing whether they have Christ or accept his promise. His promise he gave to them. He said if we just would believe and seek him, you know, he said we have salvation. So, Lord, touch your people heart. And the Bible tells us if we come and hear the word, you know, then we can move forward. We can hear the word, and once we hear the word, we'll be able to go forward in doing what you ask us to do. So, Lord, bless each and everyone on this prayer line. Bless Brother Eli, and continue to be with Brother Eli throughout the week, the day, and, Lord, every moment. And thank you, Father, in your Son Jesus' name we pray, amen. And sisters and brothers, we just happy to pray for you on this prayer line, and not only you, your family, because my family, going through right now, Lord, with a loss. So we need prayers, and we asking that you all would join in and that you share prayers with your family. So let us go to the next caller, because we definitely need prayer. So let us open the next line, sisters and brothers. The next, we have a caller that is 985-232. Your line is open. And sisters and brothers, be patient. We will get to you, and we will open your line. So 985, your line is open. You can give us your name and where you're calling from.
Good evening, sisters and brothers.
Amen.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Homolulu, Louisiana. First, I want to thank God for watching over us and waking us up this morning. I just want to thank him for all the goodness. Just want to ask him to continue watching over us and being with the family as we continue mourning the loss of our baby sister that was 37 years old. I'd like to read a scripture coming from John 15, starting at verse 27. Peace I leave you with. My peace I give unto you, not as the world given. Give I unto you. Let not your heart trouble, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Amen.
Yes.
Jesus. That's what I have been doing. I have been consoling and trying to counsel my sisters that are not in the word no kind of way, and I have been fighting and over a body that is gone to the Lord, and they are holding it hostage in Texas, and I have sisters over here that are trying to fight for the body, and nobody want to let it go. So I've just been praying silent to the Lord and trying to just write and pray for peace. And they still haven't made no decision of what they was going to do or where they was going to do. And I'm just leaving it up to the Lord and asking y'all to just continue praying for us, because they are ignorant to understanding, and they just have not you don't have no godly understanding, because they ask us not to pray. And you know, when they ask you not to pray, y'all know what that's about. So I'm praying anyway, and I ask y'all to continue praying with me, and the prayer and the people on the Facebook and everywhere are praying for us too. So whatever circumstances be, the Lord gonna have the say so, and I'm just, you know, staying my distance so I can stay well, because I'm too sick to even get involved in trying to find anybody. We don't even know where they live. So that's the bottom line. I didn't even know she was sick like that. So they never told me anything. They just left where we live to move way out of town. And don't me and my older sister, Leola, we have never learned she was that ill. So I just want y'all to continue praying for the family, and and pray for the Enlightened Ministry and all my brothers and sisters, the sick, the homeless, and all the other members on this prayer line and off this prayer line and abroad, and everybody responsible. And God bless y'all. Hold on a minute. That's okay, Brother John. I'm going to speak tonight. So God bless y'all. Amen.
Okay. Well, Sister Brenda, what scripture were you reading from? I love that scripture, and I know I have it marked.
I was reading John 15, starting at verse 27.
Amen. John 15, verse 27. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Brenda and Brother John, for sharing.
Amen.
And I just want to praise God for you all sharing on this prayer line and supporting a prayer line. And it's such a blessing to know that when you come to the prayer line to read scriptures like that, don't you know God is counting that worthy of you? So you continue to read, because everything you're reading, God will bring that back to your memory. So you read, you study the Word of God. And I just wanted to share something with you, because I know we were raised up in the church, in the Sunday church, and then we didn't understand about the dead, the state of the dead. The state of the dead is not gone to God. And I'm just bringing it out to you right now, so I won't forget. But that's the main thing that we are to get out and share with people about the state of the dead. Now, you remember when we were sharing with that lady down at the hospital, she always asked for those that spirit of the dead book. You remember that, right? Because she had a problem with her husband. Being, she said that she would go with her husband every night. She believed her husband was with her. And when we shared those books with her, then she began to study those books, and now she knows that her husband is buried and his memory is no longer with him, or is no longer have no memory, or she no longer have no memory, he no longer have no memory of her. I'm sorry I had that backwards, but I want to read the scripture, because let the word tell it itself. Let the word speak for itself. So I'm gonna read. It's in Ezekiel. Highlight it in your Bible. It may be already highlighted, but it's Ecclesiastics chapter 9 and verses. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna start at verse 5.
Nine.
It says, "For the living." Who are the living? You and I, all of us on this prayer line, we are the living. For the living know that they shall die. Now, do you know that the Bible says, Sister Brenda, the living, you are alive. You know that one day you're going to die. Is that right?
Right. Correct.
Okay. So, but listen at the next line. It says, but the dead know not anything.
Nothing.
Neither
right.
have they any more reward. For the memory of them is forgotten. So the dead, which is my sister just passed, she's not with the Lord. Her body is dead right now. They have not put it in the ground. But she has no more reward. She has no memory. She can't talk to you. She can't do nothing. She's dead. Everything is gone.
Okay.
Her destiny, her probation is closed. She sealed whatever she is. That's what she will wake up. If she was in Christ, he's going to wake her up in that resurrection. So my sister, know that. Don't let nobody... just like I remember telling you when you used to always say my mother and my grandmother
came
to you. She came to you to talk to you and tell you, come go with me. And you told her, no, I'm not going with you. So remember, don't let nobody confuse you with that, because your dead loved ones going to come back to you, trying to convince you that they're going to talk to you. But that is not of God. That is of the devil, because the dead can't talk. The Bible tells us that. So you believe the Bible, as take the Bible at its word, and don't hear what those folks are talking about. The dead is in heaven. Your sister in heaven. She is not in heaven. You know,
okay.
She still has to be buried. So,
mm-hmm.
And if you keep that in mind, if you keep that in mind, you will not let nobody confuse you in the word of God. So God
you say
gets the glory.
Ecclesiastic.
Ecclesiastic
9.
Chapter 9 and verse 5. And you can read 6 too, because they say they love, their hatred. It reads all of it. So thank you for sharing with us. And
okay.
We're going to pray. We will pray for our family tonight on the prayer line, that God will prepare their heart, because it's, you know, it's nothing we can do. So continue to keep
nothing.
In mind. And you
Man.
You keep your prayer before God. All right? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sister.
Amen.
God bless.
Thank
so
you.
Now
Bye-bye.
We're going to go to our next sisters and brothers. We're going to open the line. Thank you, sisters and brothers, for waiting on the line. Let us open your line. And that number is 256. 945, your line is open.
Good evening, Sister Leola, and those on the prayer line. On Rosewood, calling from Huntsville, Alabama. And tonight I would like to read a few scriptures, and then I go into a word of prayer. Like you
Amen.
Said, we need much prayer. We need much prayer. And Matthew,
much prayer, sister.
In Matthew 11:28-30, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." So with that being said, I'm going to offer a word of prayer for all of us, because we need prayer. Heavenly Father, tonight I come to you thanking you, Lord, for waking us up this morning, and we can get on this prayer line tonight and give you glory, praise, and honor. Lord, I bring the families to you tonight. My family, my children, all my family, Lord, cousin, all. I bring Sister Brenda and Sister Leola family to you tonight. They have lost their sister, and Lord, she has been laid to rest, and her covenant has been sealed. So, Lord, we ask that you will be with them, continue to give them strength, continue to let them look to you for all the words and answers that can be answered only by you. So, Heavenly Father, help them to remain faithful. Help them to witness to others about what is written in your word. Keep all of us, Lord. We need you, Lord. We cannot do without you. Send your Holy Spirit to be with all your children around the world, but especially us that come on this prayer line day after day, night after night, giving you glory and praise and honor. Lord, we ask that you remember your young people, your older people, your middle-aged people in a very special way, but especially our youth, Lord. They are just, some of them are just beginning to step out. So, Lord, be with them, Lord. Help them to be obedient to their parents. Help them to always be mindful how they say things and what they do. Help them to continue to want to love you, Lord, and to go to Sabbath school and church and hear your word being read or preached. Heavenly Father, We have a great work to do. We need you, Lord, every minute of the hour. Lord, to tell us what direction we should take and how we should take it and make sure we let people see the love in us from you. Heavenly Father, we know that time is not longer than it used to be, but only you know when you will come. So, Lord, help us just to keep faithful, forgive us for all our sins and shortcomings. Be with the power. She said you will lead that 7 this morning. So, Lord, I ask that you will continue to give her traveling mercy as she go over to our hometown. Lord, she going on there to do a work for you. She going on there to witness to the people and the young people who do not fully understand, Lord. But you send your Holy Spirit to dwell in our heart and mind. And Heavenly Father, the contacts that she make over there, that they will be from you, and they will not let this go without they keeping in their heart and mind to do those things which you have told us to do. And Heavenly Father, be with her daughters and her grandchildren and all the children in the neighborhood and at our church. Lord, I ask that you will just shower your Holy Spirit down on us. We need it, Heavenly Father. Be with Ella Rich and them. They're in another part of New York or wherever, Lord. They were supposed to go out today with the great controversy books and others to share with among people, Lord. Lord, let them set that city on fire with your Holy Spirit, that people will come to know you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we are praying that they will come to know you, and when we send it to you or give it to you, that they will read it and they will be mindful of what they have read, and it's true, Lord, because it's coming from you. So, Heavenly Father, we just ask all your people that is out sharing the word to be with them. And, Lord, whoever they give a book or a pamphlet or whatever, that the person will read it, Jesus. Place it up on their heart, not to just throw it on the side, but they will read it, Lord. I ask that you remember all my brothers and sisters in a very special way. Help them to continue to grow and to love you and be obedient to you, Lord. Oh, I have a lot of family members that do not know you, Lord. And I don't know, I can't say what level, but, Lord, some of them don't even want to go to church. They don't even go to church. But, Lord, I ask that you wake them up. Wake them up before it's too late. Remember my neighbors in New Orleans around here too, Jesus. Lord, let them see Jesus in us. And, Lord, the way they're building some housing now, it's hard for you to even tell whether that person is in the house or whatever, because they are building houses in a different way from where they used to be with people. You will see your neighbors. You will know if they were at home or you could holler across the street to them. But the way they are doing things now, but Lord, you had to give them the knowledge. But there's no excuse for us not to associate with one another and be with all your churches around the world, Lord. Help us to be obedient to our Sabbath school lesson. Lord, this is a beautiful Sabbath school lesson that we have in this week, and we just ask you to first lead us of the church. Lord, then we should not be looking for confusion among our sisters and brothers, but we will pray for one another and love one another. And Father, just give us the love that you had for us, and we will give it to one another. Oh, Heavenly Father, you are letting your people know, your children know, look, it's time for all to wake up. Depend on you, do what you say do, and just continue to live for you, Heavenly Father. So tonight I just ask you to forgive us, continue to let us want to be a part of your service. We want to be ready when you come for your children to go back home with you and live by the ceaseless age of eternity with you. And so, Father, we're looking for that day when you will come and you will have that great getting up morning, going to the city, going to the heavenly heaven, going to heaven to be with you forevermore. Forgive us, O Lord, I pray, and be with everybody that used to come on this prayer line. They may be listening, Lord, I don't know, but continue to let them listen, and if they have to pray or sing a song, whatever, Lord, be with them. Give them strength. Be with all our, like the daddies and the mothers and the grandmother, grandfather, uncle, cousin, and all. Just help us to hold on, Jesus. Lord, for when the wind starts blowing, we will be ready. Forgive us, O Lord, again, Jesus. And be with the Sister Leola and them. Continue to comfort them, Lord. Let us pray for one another. Be with our that sister, if she have children or husband or whatever. Give them the strength to hold on, Jesus. And when you come, we'll be ready to go back and live with you throughout the season of age of eternity. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
And amen. Yes, thank you, Sister Rosemarie, for the prayer and for the reading of the scripture. And we're going to end the prayer with Sister Power having safe travel. I'm sure she had made it there already, but we will have a prayer also. And I would like to just read a scripture coming from where Sister Brenda was, what we was talking about earlier. But I want to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, because when we look at the Bible speaks of the word of God very boldly and very frank. It don't cut anything. So it say, let us hear the conclusion, meaning the end, finished, done. Let us hear the end of this whole matter. I remember I was in a case, and a man had concluded my case, and I didn't quite understand what he said. I said, hold on, I'm not done. He said, oh, yeah, you done, because everything has been concluded. So the Bible tells us, let us hear the conclusion of this whole matter. So that is the end, sister, brother. The Bible says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, sisters and brothers, as I look at that, the Bible gives us, it doesn't cut no slack, it doesn't cut anything out of there. It says, fear God and keep his commandment. Let us hear this whole conclusion. And as he said that, fear God and keep his commandment. So when I think about that, all I can do is say on my knees, Lord, give me the strength. And sisters and brothers, we all should be praying for that, because God's word will not go back void. His word will not return unto him void. The commandments God given, he want us to keep them. So I just want to read this just for the sake of time. And if we have our brother that will bring the message tonight, that will speak tonight, we asking him to press 1. So I can know that he is on the prayer line and that he will be speaking. So we're going to read from Ecclesiastes. I'm reading Spirit of Prophecy. It's and I'm starting at, and Spirit of Prophecy says, all deeds and secret things will be judged. It says the psalmist, the law of the Lord is perfect. How wonderful is the simplicity. Its comprehensive and perfection is the law of Jehovah.
it is brief that we can easily commit every precept to memory, and yet so far reaching to express the whole will of God, and to take cognizance not only of the outward action, but of the thoughts and the intents and the desires and emotion of the heart. Human law cannot do this. They can deal with the outward action only. A man may be a transgressor and yet conceal his misdeeds from human eyes. He may be a criminal, a thief, a murderer, or an adulterer, but so long as he is not discovered, the law cannot condemn him as guilty. The law of God takes notes of jealousy, envy, hatred, malignant revenge, lust, ambitions, and surge through the soul, but have not found expression in the outward action, because the opportunity, not the will, has been wanting, and these sinful emotions will be brought into the account in the day when God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And I just want to thank God for his word as he convict me when I read. Take heed, because God is judging us every day. And we're going to have a prayer tonight, sisters and brothers, but let us look again to see if there's anyone else has pressed one so we can open the line. And sisters and brothers, yes, we have. Brother Akeem is on the line, so we're going to open this next line that had press 1. Let us open the line for 401-919. Your line is open.
No, Sister Leola is Elder Richardson. It's not Pastor Akeem. It's Elder Richardson. Yes. Are you hearing me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Well, greetings to everyone. Sorry for being a little bit, I was in the prayer line last night Friday night for a little bit, and then I had to do something, so I had to go off for a while. But I want to thank you all for all the prayers that I have asked for concerning our ministry up here. In going out to the Sunday churches, we had begun the work today, going out to the Sunday churches. And we had met 5 pastors, 2 Baptists,
praise
1
God.
African, 3 Spanish churches, 2 Baptists, and 1 African church. So we met in all. We visited 8 churches today. We met 5 pastors. We went in their office, spoke with them for under 10 to 15 minutes. We told them what we're about, that we came here to pray for them. We prayed over the pastors, these Sunday church pastors, and we told them that the Lord has sent us here to bring to you all we'd like to enroll you all in or get some prophecy seminars started at your church, Daniel and the Revelation. Oh, they were so excited. Sister Leola, The churches, the pastors, and them are ripe for picking. I am telling you, by the grace of God, if we sit in our pews and our benches and we are not going to the core or the heart of the work of meeting these shepherds in these churches and talk with them, befriend them, and speak with them and converse with them and know what they're about, they were so happy. They greeted us. They greeted us so well, and they welcomed us with outstretched hand, and we talked, and we give them great controversy. Praise the Lord. That was the plan that we had planned concerning going out to all these Sunday churches in Rhode Island. We are embarking upon this program to cover the whole of Rhode Island, sisters and brethren of Advent Light Prayer Ministry. And I need your prayer urgently. Because the pastors and them are reaching out. The pastors and them have welcomed us with open arms in their churches. We sat in some of the churches after their meetings. We did not go there for any debating or any kind of speaking against their church or doctrine. No, that wasn't about it. We went there and we talked, spoke with them, befriended them, complimented them, prayed on them. We did. We lay our hands on them and prayed on them. And we told them that we are here for business of the Lord, that we want to do some prophecy seminar at your church, and they're going to get back in touch with us. We give them our card, our ministry card, and we give them Great Controversy. Sisters and brothers, I'm telling you, the doors are open for us to go into these Protestant churches and meet with the pastors. And I am going to talk to Brother Yudi, and I'm going to see if he can get make some kind of wherever Advent Light Ministry and get in group and go out and in these Sunday churches and talk with their pastors, befriend them, not go to criticize them, and pray with them and give them Great Controversy and hand out to them the option of coming to their churches to do Revelation and Daniel seminar courses, and they accepted that. So we have our hands full to capacity here, and we're embarking upon, we covered, as I said, 8 churches today, and we have many more churches to cover in the various areas, boroughs of Rhode Island. So pray for us, brethren, concerning this work that God has called us to do, and should all of us should be engaged and be involved in this evangelistical outreach ministry. Thank you. God bless. Be faithful.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Elder Richardson. I did recognize your name and your number, Elder Richardson, if I called you, brother.
Akeem.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
yes.
Thank you, Elder Richardson. And I'll tell you, yes, that is a blessing that you're going out reaching these ministers that, and you know, God's going to do a special work. So we got to keep that in prayer.
Amen.
So let us let us have a prayer. Elder Richardson, you can give us a prayer to the Sister Powell, we want to keep her in prayer. You can give us a prayer before Akeem. Come on, right quick.
All right, yes. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful and grateful, Lord, for your blessings and your mercies. Lord, you are a wonderful God, a mighty God, a God that is to be loved and to be served and to be worshipped. And God, all you're asking of us is to plunge deep and to delve into your grace and to receive the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives that will give us the power to go out there, Father, with witnessing, Father, with a spirit of evangelism, aggressive evangelism, to go out and to reach, dear Father, these ministers and these pastors of these Sunday churches. Oh, God, we pray, dear Father, that your blessings will be upon us in this work and that this will catch fire in all the various ministries, oh, God, that they will concentrate on souls that are out there, Father. Dear God, we are seeing, Lord, that in our churches there are so many problems, oh, God. We are seeing, oh, God, that the church is in such a condition, dear God, that we cannot, Lord, we cannot in any wise, in any way, Lord, asleep in our ways and leaving the work of God undone, dear God. It is time. The time has come for us, Lord, to group ourselves, to come together in praying and in going out and handing out this Great Controversy book, which is the book that is needed, Lord, to give to these churches and to their pastors. And I want to thank you, God, for the blessings that you have given us today in the field, oh God, of reaching these pastors. I pray for Advent Light Ministry brothers and sisters. I pray for the prayers that have been asked of today, dear God. I did not heard of all the prayers, but I pray for each and every one, God, that have asked prayer and unspoken requests, oh God. I pray for your mighty power of your Holy Spirit upon each and every one, dear God. May we, each and every one of us, seek you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. May your power, Lord, be demonstrated in our lives. And, Father, may we go forth in the name of Jesus Lord, knowing, dear God, that we have a work to do. You have called us in these last days to do the work and do it quickly, dear God, for time is no longer. Bless us and bless Pastor Akeem as he bring the message tonight. May your power be a presence of your spirit. Speak to him that as the word fall on hearts, O God, that we receive it and be drawn closer to you, Lord. Cleanse us and wash us, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Lee.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Elder Richardson, for the prayer. And thank you, sisters and brothers, for being patient. And now we will open the line for Brother Akeem so he can bring us the message. Thank you, Brother Akeem. We opening your line, and we ask that the Lord bless you and be with you tonight as you bring the word. We open the line for Brother Akeem. Amen.
All right. Can you hear me?
Amen. We can hear you.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Thank you so much. And you know, it really moved my heart in light of what I just heard Elder Richardson say. That was really powerful, and I praise the Lord that was said, because we are told that's something, you know, it's powerful that you should mention that, because that's something, Elder, that has been weighing on my heart for the past few weeks. And I've been seeking to calculate and go out and do that, because I realized we are told to do that in the book Evangelism. And so, but many a minister fail to go out and to interact with the ministers within his community, the other ministers within his community. Or more so, we are afraid of doing that, maybe thinking that we'll be destroyed, or we'll be not destroyed, but in the sense of what kind of reputation will follow that, or how will people think of us, or maybe we don't know what might happen there. And many times our fears, I realize, hold us back from doing the will of God as it is expressly revealed in the spirit of prophecy, not realizing that if we go forth in faith, as you mentioned, there's a rich harvest to be reaped. But we will never reap that harvest unless we have faith to go out and do these things that are so to the naked eye or to the fragile mind, it might seem so radical. But I realize this is the kind of faith that we have to have in these last days, a radical faith that is based on the truth of the scriptures that will take us outside of ourselves, beyond ourselves, to accomplish the work of taking the gospel to the world. And so praise the Lord that you mentioned that. And in light of your testimony, we're going to be talking about the mercy of God this evening. I may have spoken to you about this in time past, but I've been revisiting this subject and examining it more to see what the Bible is really saying to us concerning our Lord, concerning our Savior. As we understand from history, from the history of the Advent movement, of the Adventist Seventh-day Adventist Church, that a powerful message concerning the righteousness of Jesus Christ came to this church in the 1880s, going into the 1890s. But there were issues that rose up in our church at that time that revealed the hearts of men and women. It revealed that the heart was not ready. And many times messages from God do that. When a message from God comes to an individual or comes to a people, the way that they respond to that message reveals where they are spiritually. And sadly, our church at that time was not in the right place. We were preaching about prophecy. We were doing these different things that were powerful. But in that time, inspiration tells us that we were dry. Our spiritual experience was as dry as the hills of Gilboa. So even though we were preaching the prophecies, we were arguing and debating with other people, which was not right. We were warned against that for the most part. But while we were doing that and thinking we were accomplishing the work, when the true message came, when the message of the righteousness of Christ came to God's people, and when the issues concerning Galatians and the law in Galatians and what law is it came up among God's people, the response to that message, the response to that issue, revealed that many among the leadership and among the membership of the church, that we were not ready at that time for the second coming of Christ. So God brought a message to us that will soften our hearts, but we rejected that message. And Christ, Ellen White says that had we received that message, Christ would have returned ere the rejection of that message. But for the rejection. Hence, we would not have even been talking on this line today. I wouldn't have even been talking on this line today. The generations would have ended in that time. But because we fail to receive the simplicity of the righteousness of Christ into our hearts, which gives us, by the way, an evangelistic spirit to go out and to do the radical things that the Bible and the spirit of prophecy calls us to go out and do, friends, we are still here right now. And so I wanted to talk to us a little bit about that this evening. We've been studying Daniel 11, but I wanted to take a detour from that just for this study, to show us what we need in order to stand in the times of the fulfillment of some of the things that we've been reading in Daniel chapter 11. We need a heart transformation to stand when the prophecies that we've been studying in Daniel 11 are fulfilled. If we study the prophetic timeline and understand all of these things, but yet miss the vital reality of Christ and what he is to us, friends, we can know all of the prophetic teachings in the world, yet be unprepared for the time of trouble and for the second coming. That's something that Jesus understood. For the majority of the beginning of his ministry, Jesus began by saying the time is fulfilled, meaning, my friends, he was saying to the Jewish people, probation is soon to close upon this nation. Because he was speaking in light of Daniel chapter 9, that when he said time is fulfilled, the time is fulfilled, he's really saying the 70-week prophecy is coming to its close. It's actually transpiring right now. Are you ready? But friends, do you notice that right after Jesus laid that foundation, prophecy is the foundation of his ministry, the majority of the rest of the messages that he gave, though they had prophecy in them, the majority of the lessons that he taught were practical. And the reason for this is he knew that if the people understood that probation was coming to an end in 34 AD with the stoning of Stephen, he knew if they understood that and if he continually held that up before them only, he knew that they still would not be ready because they would not have had the practical experience to meet the closing of probation in AD 34. And so what he knew was, I have to give these people an experience and I have to give them an understanding of what it means to have a practical faith so that when that time comes, they will be ready. And that practical experience, friends, it is the message of Christ as our righteousness practically. That's why Jesus touched on simple things like, you are worth more than many sparrows, he told the people, showing them their worth. Not only that, Jesus told them, he says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. These were the normal, everyday necessities of life that people were worried about in the present. And so in a sense, to teach the practicality of the gospel is to preach tell the people the dates and the time periods and that which is coming without showing them how to prepare practically for that which is coming, without uplifting Christ, our righteousness, then friends, oh, the time of trouble will come, probation will close, and many will not be ready because they were not taught in the right way. And so today we're going to touch on part of this understanding of Christ as the righteousness of man, as Christ as man's salvation, so that we can prepare for what's coming. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin. Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, that you would guide us. Draw us ever closer to you. Help us to prepare for that which is coming by internalizing the living Christ, that he may dwell in our hearts, sanctify our souls, that we may be able to stand when probation closes. Give us this understanding, this knowledge that is not just knowledge, it's not just theory, but it is a theory that produces an experience with you that will prepare us for that which is soon to come upon the earth and that which is presently coming upon the world. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So let us go in our Bibles, friends, to the book of 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 2, actually, and verse 1. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. And it is a deeper understanding of what we're going to be looking at today that will give God's people the strength, the radical faith to go out and do what Elder Richardson had mentioned at the beginning. Because many times God's people are content to just meet in a, to just come to church and gather together every Sabbath, and that is good. But if we stop there at coming to church, hearing a message, yet not applying that message to the life practically, friends, we are only theoretical Christians. And many are satisfied to be this. So hence, their Christianity consists of just listening to messages rather than having a living faith. So 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "My little children, these things write I unto you," John is saying, "that you sin not." So John wouldn't say this. The Apostle John wouldn't say this. John the Revelator wouldn't say this unless it was possible to sin not. He wouldn't write unto them, "These things I write unto you, that you sin not," unless there was a possibility of us not sinning, right? But he's saying, even though that this is possible, I know that many still do fall. And so if you do fall, not because there was some flaw in what I wrote to you, but because maybe that which I wrote to you was not applied earnestly. He says, if any man does sin, or if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So he's saying, okay, I'm writing these things unto you that you won't sin, and it is possible to cease from sin. But if you do sin, if you do err, if you do fail in applying the things that I've written to you, you have someone who intercedes for you in the heavens above. You have a support in heaven, and that is Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, verse 2 in context, it says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, the word there, propitiation, this is very powerful. The word propitiation there is a big word, and that's what we're going to seek to break down in this study. What does the word propitiation actually mean? What does that word actually mean? So go in your Bible to the Old Testament. God, in love to his people, loving his people with an everlasting love, he always desires to be close to them. So in the book of Exodus chapter 25, we see God's great attempt to bring his people closer to himself by he himself coming close to his people. In Exodus chapter 25, God instructing Moses to instruct the Israelites, tell Moses in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. So he tells Moses this, and this is a powerful truth, friends, because what were they in context to make this dwelling place out of? Friends, they were to make it out of the benefits that they received when they were coming out of Egypt. It says in Exodus chapter 25, verse 1, and the Lord God, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them. Here it is, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram's skins dyed red and badger's skins, and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod, and in the breastplate. And then let them make me out of this a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Now all of these things, friends, the gold, the silver, the brass, the blue, the purple, the scarlet, the fine linen, the goat's hair, the badger skins, all of these different things, they received as they were coming out of Egypt. The Egyptians gave them these things in fear of them because of all the wonders that God wrought for the Israelites. So as this happened and they received it, this teaches us a valuable lesson. Because do you realize Israel began to receive the benefits of God, such as the gold, the silver, the brass, as they were coming out of Egypt? They had not even totally left Egypt, and God was already giving them the benefits. Now, the reason I bring this out is because it reveals something to us of the love of God. When God begins to redeem a human being, when a human being, when a person decides in their dark situation, remember, Israel was captive from the times after Joseph. They became captives and slaves to the people of Egypt and to the leaders of Egypt. And so not only were they slaves, but they fell under into slavery because they themselves had compromised and fallen into the idolatry of the Egyptians. And so as a result of this happening, now they had apostatized within the Egyptian land. God's people had fallen into apostasy, and they were captive as a result and slaves. So now what God does is at a certain point in their captivity and in their apostasy, they cry out to God. They begin to cry out to him to deliver them. And God sends a deliverer in the person of Moses. Now, this is the amazing thing. God began, and this is how God deals with all of us, friends. Before he ever delivers us physically from the situation that we may be in, that we may have brought ourselves to, we may have put ourselves in. We are told in Patriarchs and Prophets and in other places in inspiration that had the people of God remained faithful after the time of Joseph, God would not have allowed them to fall slaves under the hands of the Egyptians. There would have been no need for God to repeat the Ten Commandments when he took them out because they would have remembered it in remaining faithful. But the reason that God had to proclaim the Ten Commandments from Sinai is because the people had allowed themselves to become so corrupted by the Egyptian religion that God now had to state it in power and glory to emphasize the importance of his law. But friends, what happens when people fall under temptation and they fall into bondage in different situations of life? Does God give up on us? No, he continues to reach us to the point that we begin to cry out to him. And when we cry out to him, do you know what happens? The moment that we cry out to him, God begins to send a deliverer. And so he works it out to send a deliverer in Moses. Now, this is what happens. When God sends Moses, according to the book of Exodus chapter 5, before God ever delivers his people out of Egyptian bondage physically, he delivers them spiritually. And this is a crucial point to remember. It says in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a fast unto me in the wilderness.' And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go.' And they said, 'The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword.' And the king of Egypt said unto them, 'Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens?' And Pharaoh said, 'Behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them,'" here it is, "'rest from their labors.'" Now the word rest there, friends, in the original language, The Hebrew in which the Old Testament was written, the word rest there is actually Sabbath. So before Israel ever left Egypt physically, God began to restore them spiritually. They had begun to keep the Sabbath even while they were in Egypt, to the point that they started resting on the Sabbath, and Pharaoh noticed that, whoa, they're resting and the work is not being done that I want to be done. So God was beginning to restore them spiritually through this deliverer, and they were beginning to understand and follow the instructions of God while they were still in physical captivity. And then later on, as they continued to follow the Lord, and Pharaoh continued to reject what Moses and Aaron were telling him, then it came to a point where God finally worked it out to deliver them physically. Now, what is the lesson in this? The lesson in this is crucial. Many times we turn to God in the midst of the dark situations that we have put ourselves in. Sometimes we're tempted to think that God has given up on us. But friends, something in our hearts tells us, not our necessarily something, it's the Holy Spirit convicting our hearts to understand the character of God. That God indeed is a God of mercy. As long as mercy is extended and probation is open, God will do everything he can to draw the soul to himself, even the soul that put himself in dismal situations. And so he reaches out to that person, not giving up on that person, pursuing that person until the person realizes their great need and they cry out for him, for help. God, deliver us from this situation. And this is the science of how God delivers us. You see, sometimes God does not immediately take us out of a situation that we're crying to him to deliver us from. Sometimes the situation doesn't change immediately. Why? Because we must be changed before the situation changes. God sometimes doesn't take us out of situations physically immediately because he has to change us so that we'll appreciate the situation when it's changed, so that we'll appreciate his work in our lives when he does change the situation. If he changed, and how does he do that? He begins by changing us spiritually. That's the problem. That was the problem with the Jewish nation. That was the problem with the disciples themselves. They kept thinking that Jesus came to establish an earthly kingdom. And so even after the resurrection, they were still asking, Lord, is it at this time? They know he's going to set up the kingdom at some time. But they're like, Lord, is it at this time that you're going to set up the kingdom? Showing that at that moment, they still missed it. They still missed that the true bondage was not to Rome. The true bondage in the story of Israel being in bondage to Egypt, that Egypt was not the true bondage. They were not the true oppressors. The real bondage was the bondage to sin. Even though Rome and Egypt at a time were oppressing God's people, God understood that this is not the fundamental issue. I could deliver them right now, and they will have no appreciation but for that deliverance and continue or go back to living a life of sin. Hence, God has to change our mind before he changes our situation. This is the crucial thing for us to remember, friends, because sometimes people lose hope in God when God doesn't immediately deliver them, not realizing that God is trying to change them. God is trying to change you and I so that we can appreciate him more, so much that we don't go back when the situation is finally changed, when we're delivered physically. Same thing happens at the second coming. God says, you must overcome sin spiritually before I deliver you from the presence of sin physically at the second coming by taking you out of this world. He must separate us from sin before he separates us from a sinful world. He must separate us from sin spiritually before he separates us from a sinful world physically. And this is what we see in this story. But it's powerful because even while he's changing our minds, while physically the situation may be the same, we reap benefits even while the situation has not changed. And this is what happened to Israel. God was working out their situation, to the point that he began to bless them and show his favor upon them by bringing the plagues upon the rebellious Egyptians, not because he wanted to, but because they were rebellious, and protecting his people in the last seven plagues. There were 10 in all, and the last seven, the people of God were protected in Goshen. But not only that, when they were finally coming out, before they even exited Egypt, they received the treasures of Egypt. God is saying to us in this story that even before you are taken out of a dark predicament, I will bless you if you learn how to depend on me in that darkness. If you will learn, if we will learn to look beyond the dark clouds by faith, knowing that Jesus is right behind that cloud, friends, the darkness of the enemy will not cause us to doubt. That darkness should only be a sign to us that while the enemy may be trying to destroy me, or while he may be trying to destroy my faith, this darkness is only the great evidence that Jesus is behind that cloud. If I have faith, if I trust, and if I'm trying to follow God in the midst of perplexity, in the midst of the perplexities of life. Friends, this is crucial because this is a practical thing that we're learning. If we don't learn how to trust God practically in the dark times we face today in our lives individually, then I tell you, friends, when the dark time of trouble comes upon the entire world, friends, we will not be ready for that because we have not learned to trust God in the moments that we have now, in the dark times that are existing in our lives now. If we can learn to do that now, then when the time comes, at the end of the end, we will be able to trust him then, because we would have in our minds the track record of God, that God has never failed us, that as thick as the dark clouds were that the enemy cast over my mind to try to discourage me, God was always there. He had never departed. And now I must remember that and train my mind, keep my mind in that trajectory, in that direction, to know that by faith, God is beyond the dark cloud of my life, that he is just behind it, and he is only continuing to ask me, will I trust him? So Israel trusts God, and God gave them these benefits, but the benefits were not only used for themselves, it was used to give God glory in making a sanctuary. Now, in the sanctuary, friends, as we start, should say yes, in the sanctuary, we know that there were three components, three major components. The courtyard, in which we find a number of articles there, two to be exact. We find the courtyard. This is where the people brought their sacrifices of rams, lambs, goats, and other sacrifices. And they brought them there as to make atonement for sin. Those sacrifices were, in a sense, a type of the great atonement, Jesus Christ. It pointed forward to the Savior who would come to our world and die for us, Jesus himself. But right after that, the first compartment of the sanctuary is the next thing that the priest would enter into. And in that part, it was called the holy place. And that holy place also had a number of articles. And then the last thing that you had, the last compartment, was the most holy place. Now, in the most holy place, friends, there were a number of articles there. Aaron's rod that budded, the manna, and also you had the Ark of the Covenant and the law inside of that ark, and the Book of Moses on the side of the ark, not inside it. And so out of all of those articles, the one that is emphasized the most in Scripture is the Ark of the Covenant. And the reason is this, because the Ark of the Covenant is not that the other things are not important. They also have spiritual significance. But the Ark of the Covenant reveals a powerful truth about the character of God, which impacts the other articles, every other article in the sanctuary. You see, that ark was called the Ark of the Covenant, or the ark that possessed the covenant, or the box that contained the covenant, which was the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments, when we think of that, we think of the justice of God, that God is just, that God is fair, that God is righteous. But friends, there was another part to that ark. And it's mentioned in Exodus chapter 25. Not by coincidence, the first article that's mentioned in Exodus chapter 25 is the Ark of the Covenant. And so it says in verse 10, it says, "And they shall make an ark of shittim wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof." Now skip down to verse 16. It says, "And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony, 10 commandments, also known as the covenant, which I shall give thee." Then verse 17, "And you, or and thou, shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold. Of beaten work shalt thou make them, and in the 2 ends of the mercy seat, in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be." Now, this is a very powerful truth, because what it's saying here is that this mercy seat was the lid that was to cover the Ark of the Covenant. It was the lid that covered it to secure the law. And that lid, as well as the Ark itself, was also made out of pure gold. Now, friends, while the Ten Commandments was a symbol of God's justice, the mercy seat was a symbol of God's mercy. Hence, it is called the mercy seat. Because this is the place right above it. You had joined into the mercy seat was the 2 angels, one on either side. And just above them was the Shekinah glory, the glory of God, the presence of God. And the reason that the presence of God rested there is revealed in the name mercy seat. In other words, this is a resting place. The top of the ark was a resting place for the presence of Jehovah. And that's powerful, because we read that also, that this is how it is not only in the sanctuary, but it's also mentioned in Psalms. It gives us that idea in Psalms. In Psalms chapter 99, in Psalm division 99 and verse 1, it actually states powerfully, it says, "The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims." You remember those cherubims, one on either side, and the Shekinah glory in the middle. "Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and is high above all the earth." So where does the Lord sit? In between the cherubim. What's in between the cherubim? The mercy seat. And so God is resting there. Now, this is powerful, because the angels are looking down at the mercy seat, which is also the same direction as God's law, which is right under the mercy seat. And what this is a symbol of is that angels look with amazement at how God can be just and merciful to the sinner at the same time. How can a God that is fair and just be merciful and pardon the sinner? How can he do this yet still be fair? And friends, we're going to see. If you remember, we're trying to understand the definition of the word propitiation. What is the definition of propitiation? Now, friends, this is powerful, because the word mercy seat in the Old Testament, when translated into the New Testament, such as in the book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, when mercy seat, which is a symbol of God's mercy, is transferred over into the New Testament, which is Greek now, in 1 John chapter 2, do you know that the word mercy seat, when translated over into the New Testament, is the word propitiation? So the mercy seat in the Old Testament sanctuary, the lid for the Ark of the Covenant, symbolizing God's mercy, is actually propitiation. So they're literally the same word. But the Bible tells us who our propitiation is. It says, "And he," Christ, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, "is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours only, but the sins of the whole world." In other words, the mercy seat equals propitiation, which equals Christ. Therefore, the mercy seat is a symbol of Jesus Christ. Therefore, friends, the mercy of God, which the mercy seat symbolizes, is not just a theory. It's not just a slab of gold that covered an ark to contain the law. Mercy is not just a concept or a theory. Friends, mercy is a person. Jesus Christ is the mercy of God incarnate, the mercy of God in human flesh. Christ is our mercy, friends. In other words, this is why God made the ark that way. Because can you imagine if the mercy seat had not been between, you realize that the Shekinah glory is resting right on top of the mercy seat. And right under the Shekinah glory is the mercy seat, and right under the mercy seat, which covers the ark, is the law. Think about it. If the mercy seat did not stand between the glory of God, the Shekinah glory, and the law, do you see what that tells us? That God, when dealing with us, would immediately revert to the law. And friends, what is the requirement for breaking the law? It is our very life, friends. For the wages of sin is death. But because there is a mercy seat between the Shekinah glory, the glory of God, and the law, we are not destroyed. In other words, God filters his justice through his mercy. God filters his justice through his Son. The reason that we have not yet perished, though we have sinned so many times in our lives, the reason that we have received a second probation, and within that probation, thousands of other probations, is because of Christ, friends. And Christ is not standing between us and God that we might continue breaking the law, but it is that we might be given time through the mercy of God, which is Christ himself, to rise up to the standard of the law. And this is why in the final generation, God will have a people that do that. Go with me now to our final text, Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. This is powerful. And in saying this, this law, friends, this mercy seat reveals our worth, because you realize when Jesus, the climax of God demonstrating his mercy, the climax of Christ demonstrating the mercy of God, was as he died for us on Calvary. The reason Christ is called a propitiation, or the mercy of God, is because he died in our place. He gave us what he deserved, that we might receive what he deserved. He took on our debt that we might receive his life, which is eternal. He became our substitute. He took our place. And this shows us the price tag that is staple to our existence. Because you see, Christ was not just a man. Christ was God in man. Christ was God in human flesh. Therefore, when Jesus was dying upon Calvary, it was the infinite God paying our penalty. Though his human nature was that which perished, divinity did not die. Divinity surrounded itself with humanity. Divinity blended with humanity that it might pay the penalty for sin and die for us. Not divinity, but the humanity. And this is a mystery that we'll never be able to understand through the ceaseless ages of eternity. But we'll get more and more of an understanding of it. But it will take all eternity to understand it, which means we'll never fully comprehend it. And so therefore, if it is God who is paying our penalty, if it was the infinite God who was upon the cross, then friends, that tells us our worth. In a world where many do not know their worth, either because someone has never told them, or in a world where someone has probably told them that you are worth nothing, that you're an accident. Friends, we need only look to the cross to see our value. Hence, Jesus said, you are worth more than many sparrows. How much are we worth? You are worth the death of the infinite Son of God. Therefore, if the infinite God would die for you and I, that means, friends, that we are worth infinity. That is how much we are worth. Our worth is infinite. Now, in light of that, God says, in light of this mercy that I've extended to you, showing you your worth, showing us our worth, He said there will be a generation that finally doesn't take that mercy for granted, but says, Lord, we will take advantage of that mercy, not misuse it, but apply it and appropriate it to our lives. So look at what happens to the point that look at what happens. This is the final generation of saints now. It says in Revelation chapter 14 and verses, sorry about that, Revelation chapter 14 and verses 5, it says there, and in their mouth, speaking of the 144,000, was found no guile, for they are without, here it is, fault before the throne of God. Now, you remember, if the mercy seat was the seat of the Shekinah glory, the presence of God, dwelling between the two cherubim, one on either side, with the ark right underneath, with the law within the ark, we are realizing, therefore, that the Ark of the Covenant in the Most Holy Place is a symbol of the throne of God. Hence, the glory of God rested right over it, right above it. This was God's resting place. It was his throne in the midst of Israel. This is why no wonder we are told that justice and mercy is the foundation of God's government by the spirit of prophecy. We're seeing it in the sanctuary. So, for the 144,000, therefore, to stand before the throne of God without fault. Do you see what they are then standing before without fault? They are standing at the throne of God at the Ark of the Covenant, which contains God's law and it is covered by the mercy of God, is a symbol of the throne of God. And the 144,000 are unable to stand before God's throne without fault. Do you see what that then is telling us, friends? It means that there will one day be a generation that stands without sin before the law of God. Because what was in the ark that was a symbol of God's throne? The law. Therefore, to stand before the throne is to stand before the law. But to stand before the throne without fault is to stand before the law without fault. Therefore, their lives have been perfected. That's what it's come to. But why has their lives been, how has their lives been perfected? Through the mercy seat. It is because of Jesus and the work that he has done in their lives by liberating them from sin spiritually that they are able to stand before the throne of God without sin. He has brought them to that height in their spiritual experience with him, and this is what is possible for each and every one of us. For we are told in inspiration that we should earnestly desire and strive to be among the 144,000. That we might be a part of vindicating the character of God and showing that the mercy of God can lead the sinner to such a state of repentance that he will never return to sin, or that she will never return to sin, by the mercy, by the grace of Jesus Christ. Friends, if that is your desire as we close today, seeing that mercy is not just a theory, nor an ideology, nor a concept, but it is a person, Jesus Christ is the mercy of God. He is even the law of God. He reveals the justice of God in that he took on the penalty for our sin. He paid the ransom. So in that it was fair, Calvary was fair. But Calvary also manifested mercy toward the sinner. For now, we need not die, but we can live and have the opportunity in accepting Christ to live forever at that. If this is your desire, to live forever, to lay hold of the mercy of God, understanding that it shows your worth, shows us our worth, and ultimately a beat that will be the character of God and before the throne without flaw, then I ask you to pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this study today. And I pray, O Lord, that it makes sense to each and every one of us. Father, I pray that you would perfect us, purify us. May the mercy of God, Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that his sacrifice will have its effect in our lives. And I know that's why he's in heaven today, to apply the blood that was shed on Calvary, to apply his sacrifice to our sinful lives, that it might be changed to a godly life, filled with the power of God. Do this for us and in us. In Jesus Christ's name, and help us to cooperate with you in this process. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Sisters and brothers, we want to thank you. We want to thank Brother Ikeem James, first of all, for bringing us the message. And it's just a blessing, the message that he brought us to us tonight about the 144,000. And I was just saying to myself, Lord have mercy. Who's going to stand before God with the clean hands and a clean mind? So, Lord help us. Sisters and brothers, I just want to say a short prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before you, Father, Lord, let us come to you with a sincere heart, mind, and clean hands, Lord, forgiving us for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, there's so many, Lord, Father, we have to reach. So, Lord, we ask that you continue to strengthen us and be with all of us on this prayer line. Be with Sister Powell, Lord, as she go out to minister your word. Lord, I'm asking that you allow your holy angels to give her power from off high. And we thank you, Father, in your Son Jesus' name we pray now. Sisters and brothers, will you join us tomorrow night on the prayer line? And we'll see you, and God bless you until we see you then. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.